Good morning. It's the third Sunday of Easter. I'm glad you're here, but I can't seem to find Pastor Jim, and we're ready to start. Hi, Nick. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Carl.
I see you're our greeters for this morning. That's great. I know you're busy, but have you seen Pastor Jim?
A shaggy-looking pastor walked into the sanctuary about 20 minutes ago.
It may have been Pastor Jim, but I couldn't recognize him.
Let's head that way. So, Pastor Jim, what's going on here? We have to start worship.
Well, hey, I'm getting my hair cut here. I mean, this quarantine, this time has been brutal on my hair. Could you take a little bit more off the top, please?
You know, I think you two are kind of pushing the envelope in this social distancing thing, and I don't think that hairstylists are considered essential workers.
But Carl, in this case, they are. And besides, I happen to live with my hairstylist.
Thank you, dear.
Good morning, and welcome to worship. It is good that we are here, and it is good that you are wherever you are right now. This is our life and worship for this time in our history. It is a difficult time, but it is a great time to be the church together. We pray that God would bless our worship and that in turn we might be a blessing to others. Gathered together, though apart, we worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn now, a sing-along with Carl, Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. The sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Our responsive reading will appear on your screen. And this week, I will try to give you enough time to actually have your responses read. Our litany for this third Sunday of Easter. Married, divorced, or single here. Conservative or liberal here. Big or small here. Doubt or believe here. Gay or straight here. Woman or man here. Whatever your race here. In the imitation of the ridiculous love Almighty God has for each of us and all of us, He is risen. He is risen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we lay our lives and our hearts before you this morning. From the isolation that seeks to protect us, we long to be together again. Bless our families, bless our church family and our community, bless our worship. Send now your Holy Spirit that we may be set free to love and to serve. We pray in the name of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we are going to head up to Coopville, to Cedar Crest Avenue, where Lynn, our reader for this morning, is waiting to share a word of grace and hope with us. So I'm going to turn it over to you now, Lynn.
The reading is from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lynn. It is good to see your smiling face. We miss you. Give our love to Marilyn. Inspired by that lesson, Carl Olson is going to share a beautiful piece of music with us at this time.
Dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in my shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and I will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under my wings, your refuge, my faithfulness, your shield. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. And
thank you, Carl. That touched our souls. Today, our Rabbi Jesus has a word for us. May God open our hearts to hear that word. But first, a joke. A priest, a Lutheran pastor, and a rabbit walked into a bar, and the rabbit said, "I must be a typo." Now, I'm going to pause there for just a few minutes so that the laughter can die down in your homes. Easter was 2 weeks ago, and no one showed up for church that day. The tomb and the church were empty. In our lesson, it is still Easter Sunday, and Jesus meets two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, it should be noted that there are lots of road stories in the Bible. Mary and Joseph were on the road to Bethlehem on the eve of Christmas. The Apostle Paul was on the Damascus road when he encountered Jesus. The road took the prodigal son to a far-off land, and the road brought him back to his patient and loving father. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was the scene of the Good Samaritan parable. Philip shared the good news with an Ethiopian eunuch on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Moses. Moses and the children of Israel were on a desert road for 40 years. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spent much of his time on the road to Jerusalem, on a road that would lead him to a cross of execution, to an empty tomb, and to the road to Emmaus. This morning, an Easter story from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. It was late in the afternoon of that first Easter Sunday. Two of Jesus' followers were on the road to the village of Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And as they walked, they were processing their grief and loss, and they were discussing everything that had happened. How their entire lives had been turned upside down, and it all happened so fast. And as they were talking, a man caught up to them and began walking with them. Now, you must understand that this was not unusual at all. Watering holes, the open road, and truck stops were places where people could hear news and share opinions. CNN and Facebook did not exist 2,000 years ago. If you wanted to know what was going on, if you wanted to know what was happening, then you had to keep your eyes and your ears open. Jesus walked with them now, but the men did not recognize him. Jesus asked what they were talking about, and they said, "Are you the only one? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened during the last few days?" And Jesus says, "What has happened?" And they said the things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man of God, a teacher, a miracle worker. He was our rabbi. Then the religious leaders betrayed him. They got him sentenced to death and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one to deliver us from oppression and sin. They continued, saying, "It's been 3 days now since he was executed. And then just this morning, some of our women went to the tomb and they couldn't find his body. They reported that they had seen angels who said that he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb to check it out, and sure enough, it was empty, but no one saw Jesus. Then the unrecognized Jesus in their midst began to explain to them the Bible, how it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would suffer and die and be raised again. They were now approaching Emmaus. The followers of Jesus were stopping there, and they invited the stranger to have dinner with them. He politely declined, but they insisted, more than insisting, they would not take no for an answer. And when they sat down to dinner, it happened. It was the Last Supper revisited, in a sense. Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and he gave it to them. And just like that, their eyes were opened, their grief was gone, the light bulb went on, and they recognized Jesus, and then he was gone. The men bounced up out of their chairs, adrenaline surged through their bodies, and they hit the road 7 miles back to Jerusalem, back to the disciples. Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead, and he was present and recognized in the breaking of bread, just as he had promised a few days earlier in the upper room. And that, my friends, is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Recognition and hope. Recognition and hope will be the focus of our time together this morning. First, recognition. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread. Mary, you may remember in the Easter story, recognized Jesus when he called out her name. Thomas recognized Jesus when he saw the nail scars in his hands and touched the spear wounds in his side. So how is it that we recognize Jesus? Where do we see Jesus moving, working, touching, healing, and teaching today? Now, Jesus promised that he would be with us always. "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." And the last words of the Gospel of Matthew say, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But Jesus is often hidden, sometimes unrecognizable to us, seemingly silent. Now, the silence of God can be deafening. Where do we see him? Where is the spirit of the risen Christ in our community today? For 95% of our story this morning, Jesus was walking, teaching, encouraging without ever being recognized. Step after step, mile after mile, he was with them. But they were so wrapped up in their grief, so anxious about what was to come next for them, that they could not see what was right there before their eyes. It would take a moment of revelation, the breaking of bread. It would take a moment of revelation for their eyes to be opened. And then, in hindsight, the men could piece it all together and make some sense of the events that had taken place. Now, let's be very clear. They would never totally understand. It would always be a mystery and a miracle to them. God was beyond their comprehension, and God is, and God always will be beyond our comprehension as well. We are creatures. We see in a mirror dimly. We do not see the whole picture. We often do not understand how God is working, and we sometimes wonder if God is working at all. We wonder if God even hears our prayers. What's going on behind the scenes? What the people of the world are really like? We do not see the whole picture. And if you rely on the evening news, you are seeing in a mirror dimly. The news is like looking at the world through a tube. The stories that are reported, they may or may not be true, but for the most part, they do not accurately reflect the life of ordinary people. The stories are sensationalized, the dangers are exaggerated, and consequently, the fear that we live with is out of proportion to the actual threat. The stories look bigger than they are because the whole is not being reported. The day-to-day routines and the relative safety of ordinary people, that's not reported. The grace, mercy, and charity of common people goes mostly unreported. It's not deemed to be newsworthy. We are creatures. We see in a mirror dimly. We are trying to understand our journey, but we can't see the whole story. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. You don't have to figure everything out. Just know that you are loved and that I'll never leave you. Now, how many of you, I wonder, how many of you enjoy looking up to the evening sky and seeing the stars there? Musing that astronauts once walked on that moon, marveling at meteor showers and the movement of the stars. I find the visible twinkling lights to be mind-boggling, and I know that behind them is a mostly hidden universe. The universe beyond is so vast and so amazing. Now imagine looking at the universe with a telescope and then thinking that you are seeing the entire picture, as if creation or the universe could be comprehended in one screen shot. What we see with our eyes may or may not be reality. What we see may or may not be recognizable to us. But we know that there is so much more to see, so much that is beyond our comprehension. And so I return to the question, where do you see Jesus today? I see Jesus in you. I see his teachings coming to life every day in the midst of this pandemic, as neighbors care for their neighbors, as grocery workers keep showing up each and every day to serve us, as medical professionals risk their lives washing the feet of the sick and the dying. Yes, I see Jesus in you. As you care for your spouse with dementia, I see Jesus in you as you sacrifice money for the poor of the world and the hungry on Whidbey Island. Do not tell me that God is dead, because I see God in you. If the people of the world were to be seen as they really are, we would see that most people are good. Most people are compassionate. Most people just want to put bread on the table and love their families. I see Jesus in every quilt that leaves Trinity Lutheran Church, destined for people we do not know in places where we have never been. I see Jesus in every card that you write, every encouragement and condolence. I see Jesus in our preschool teachers who show up each and every week, even though there are no students. They show up to make educational packets filled with games and projects and learning opportunities. They show up because this service gives hope to frustrated parents and joy to little children. and even with good vision, Jesus is mostly hidden from me. 95% of the work of God goes unnoticed, ignored, taken for granted, misunderstood. And let me say this right up front. There are days when I am so consumed with my own agenda, with my own fears and anxieties and insecurities, that I can't see Jesus at all. I bang my head and shake my fist towards heaven saying, enough of this pandemic, enough of the isolation. I miss my people, Lord. I'm tired of this. Deliver us now. Recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Recognize Jesus as he calls you by name. Recognize Jesus in the wounds of the poor and the hungry, and in the darkness that sometimes visits us all. Recognition and hope. Hope. The followers of Jesus were grief-stricken. They expressed this reality to the stranger by saying, "We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one." The hopes and dreams of the disciples had seemingly died on the cross. We had hoped. And inherent in that cry is the stark reality that hope was now lost. We had hoped. I have often thought of those three little words and how they capture the human experience. The great writer, Ernest Hemingway, was once challenged to write a dramatic, profound, short story. That would be no problem for Hemingway. But here was the kicker in the bet. The kicker in the challenge was that he could only use 6 words. Could you do it? Would you even attempt it? Hemingway took the bet. He puffed on his cigar, he put down his drink, he grabbed the napkin from the bar, and he wrote, "Baby shoes for sale, never worn." And so in 6 words, he had captured the human story, a journey of pain, where tomorrow's dreams are often lost in today's tragedy. But we had hoped that he would be the one. This has been a season of shattered hopes. The hopes of students and teachers, the hopes of graduates who will not be celebrating with their friends and family this year. We had hoped to go to Israel this spring. We had hoped to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. We had hoped to have a baby baptized. We had hoped to have a retirement party. Or quite simply, we just hoped to go out to dinner, or to play golf, or to go to the movie, or to have our hair cut. We had hoped, but it was not to be. Not in the spring of 2020. So right now, I want you to take a minute. Right now, I want you to pause the service, and I want you to share with those that are with you, or if you're alone, I want you to complete this sentence yourself. I had hoped. Go ahead, complete that sentence with each other, and then, after you have done that, share the grief that you are carrying with those you love. Now, I'm going to wait right here for you. There's no hurry. I'm not going anywhere. The governor won't let me go anywhere. I had hoped. We had hoped. My friends, this is a church that celebrates the blessings of God. Blessed to be a blessing, we have so much, even now, to be thankful for. But this is also a place that welcomes broken hearts. This is a safe place to cry and to cry out. You need not be whole or successful or healthy to be a part of the Jesus Movement or Trinity Lutheran Church. And that brings me back to hope. If we lose hope, we lose life. Hemingway lost hope and he took his life. Judas lost hope and took his life. My grandfather lost hope and took his life. If we lose hope, we lose life. Now, certainly not everyone who loses hope commits suicide, but without hope, abundant life is not possible. In his classic book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl recalls the years that he spent in a German concentration camp in World War II. His family was arrested and put on a railroad car and taken to Auschwitz. Some were killed right away. Some were kept prisoner that their labor might be exploited to help the German war effort. In Frankl's observation, those who lost hope were sure to die. But those who maintained hope, those who found meaning in suffering and purpose in living, even under the most horrific conditions, were more likely to survive. Hope, it seemed, had the power to save. But hope is sometimes hard to find. Sometimes hope is hidden. Sometimes it must be discovered in the midst of despair. Baby shoes for sale, never worn. The age-old story is played out again and again. And so it is that we are living through isolation and contagion right now. But we do not lose hope. If our eyes are open, we will see Jesus moving around us, working, teaching, every day. And if our eyes are not open, guess what? Jesus is there still, and he will always be there through the darkest night and the longest day. We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the Savior of the world. And he was. And he is. Alleluia. Carl's going to sing for us.
When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Strong when I am on your shoulders. mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
We lift our hearts to God now as we share the prayers for this day. Each petition will end, Lord, in your mercy, and our response, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for all people according to their need. For those who are tired of being at home, and for those who wish they could just stay home. For those who are ill, and those who are caring for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray this day for the whole human family. For those who are struggling with COVID-19, for family members and friends who are waiting and worrying, for nurses, doctors, technicians, and hospital staff who are caring for the ill. We pray for essential workers who are on the front lines every day, for mail carriers, grocery store employees, pharmacists, and emergency care workers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for the teachers, educational leaders, and students as they navigate a new way of connecting and learning. Grant them patience and flexibility as they find meaningful ways to grow and learn together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for government leaders and those in positions of authority. Guide them as they make decisions for the welfare of the people. Help them use wisdom and integrity in their leadership. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are broken in mind, body, and spirit. For those who are struggling with loss of any type. For those who are lonely, afraid, and anxious. Lord, wrap your loving arms around us and bring comfort to your people during this trying time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, gracious and loving God, we commend all for whom we pray. Trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. It's so good to see your faces again. Now the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share an Easter greeting of peace with each other.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
We dedicate our gifts now and our entire lives to God, as we pray together, singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, now and forever.
Now, my friends, receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Carl will now lead us in our closing song.
Oh God, you have called us to ventures where we cannot see the end, by paths never yet taken, through perils unknown. Give us good
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Until next time, be safe.